Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This one is going to be for the first season of Twisted Metal on Paramount Plus, at least Paramount Plus here in the UK. I'm your host Matthew, and let's start off spoiler free. Season 1 of Twisted Metal. Let's go to our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. I'm going to give this a must-see and a 9 out of 10. A 9 out of 10 and a must-see for Twisted Metal on Paramount Plus. Who would have thought it? Not me. That is a reference to something, by the way. Wow. I'm, colour me very, very impressed. Very, very impressed indeed. I've just finished watching what I thought was 8 episodes. I'm here an hour later than what I was expecting to be. I thought it was 8 episodes. It is 10 episodes. Yeah, this is, wow. I remember when this show was commissioned, and I was like, how are you going to do a Twisted Metal? How are you going to adapt that? Like, there's barely any story or anything. I mean, I don't really know the games that well, but from what I understand, this is based on a Destruction Derby video game with, like, some dialogue, some bits and pieces. I think there's a few cutscenes. The game itself is extremely short, from what I just looked up, at least the first game on PlayStation 1. So Twisted Metal, based on the PlayStation video game series, because you're not talking about, like, The Last of Us here, where it's got, like, deep plots and stories and stuff, but what an interesting way to, this is a very, very interesting way to do this, and it's really nice when something really takes you by surprise, because, you know what, I was watching the first episode, then the second episode, and things were building up a little bit, but I was like, oh, this is cool, this is fun, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll plan to do a season review for this. I'm kind of curious to see where this is going to go. I thought, oh, you know, this will be kind of a 7 out of 10, don't skip review, like something still very enjoyable, but something that's just explosions, guns, car chases, and a bit of dumb fun. This ended up being way, way, way more than that. There's lots of characters that are really, really well fleshed out. There's lots of, well, in terms of the story itself is very simple and quite straightforward, but it's the characters that make things move forward. It's the backstories, the flashbacks, yeah, and it comes together in this really surprisingly, really, like, incredibly well put together thing. Don't get me wrong, I don't think this is like a strong must see 10 out of 10, this thing's incredible, but I think this is a really excellent first season, given the lack of material that you've got to go off of. It's interesting as well, because you could argue, like, have they slapped the Twisted Metal name on this, used a couple of bits from it, and then made something more out of it? But it's almost like they took the lack of what was here in the first place and really expanded it. Because I wonder now, if you did a game based off of this, rather than a show based off of the game, you've almost, like, helped the video game to expand upon itself more. So yeah, it just, wow, it really quite blew me away. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't, like, you know, a phenomenal, outstanding piece of television, but this was really, really excellent, and I really, really enjoyed my time with it quite a lot. If I'm to just note off the top, the couple of things that, like, stand out the most, I think tonally, this is absolutely perfect. The acting in this show, I wasn't sure where I was going to say this, but I'm on the topic now. Stephanie Beatrice, who I know previously from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Now, look, I know Stephanie is capable of doing some really good acting. I've seen all the episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's absolutely fantastic on that show. But I wasn't aware she was, not that I don't think she was capable, I wasn't aware of, like, what her ceiling was. And her ceiling could even be higher than what this is. I don't know. But I didn't know she could do this. And given what her character's called Quiet in the show, given what her character goes through, how unbelievably, incredibly well she I think in terms of the things I've seen so far this year, I think she's got had the best performance that I've seen in, like, whether you want to say games, shows or films, like an actor, whether it's mocap, voice or live action, whatever. I think she's given the best performance I've seen of the year so far in something. This was really, really quite incredible from her. And it made me, you know, when you like, you know, an actor's pretty good, you like seeing them in stuff. She's obviously been in stuff before as well. And then you see what someone's more capable of, and you think, I want that person in more things. That's where I'm at with her now. It was, don't get me wrong, Anthony Mackie, who is playing John Doe, who is very much still the main character. He was brilliant as well, but Stephanie just. She, I don't know if it was because she elevated the material that she was given, but she was given some very, very powerful material in the show, and she just absolutely knocked out the park with what she was given here. It's a big, big praise to her. But yeah, total. Let me talk about the tone for a minute. So this, it's very. I don't think we should underestimate how hard it is to do this type of tone. Because when you do have at times a series based on a slapstick destruction derby video game, and you do have the funny moments, there was moments I laughed, there was moments I thought things were kind of silly fun, not silly as in like, oh, that was really like stupid or whatever, but silly fun. There is, you know, the explosions, the guns, the car chases, that is very much in here. And you know, there's silly things that happen, but I thought that they fit. Nothing felt sort of like, oh, that was a weird tonal shift. Even though you can, at sometimes in the show, literally go from, oh, that was a bit more like dark and dramatic, and then switch to a scene with like Sweet Tooth, for example, and he's doing something silly. But it doesn't even feel weirdly like it's jumping around all over the place. I've seen plenty of examples like that as well. This really felt perfect tonally, and I think that's very, very difficult to do. So as much as I really enjoyed Stephanie's acting, that was probably the best thing about the show is the tonal balance, I think, given the material that you've got to work with here, and how silly this world can be, but how it earns that and earns its really, like, there's some really dark stuff that's going on in this show as well, and I'm not just talking about the violence. Yeah, there's people getting decapitated, there's heads that are exploding. It's not quite the boys level of violence. It's close to it. There is like heads that explode, there is people that explode, there is people that get decapitated, there's people that get shot. There's, you know, similar things like that as well. But the way it handled that, I thought was absolutely perfect. I'm really, really looking forward to the second season. Would I say I got emotionally invested in the show? I got emotionally invested in some of the characters. I wouldn't say, because I was watching, I was on like episode 6 or 7, and I was thinking, am I actually emotionally invested in Twisted Metal? I don't think that's what we're looking at here. I don't think that's the correct way to put it. I think I'm emotionally invested in the some of, not all of, because some of them are just kind of silly fun and stuff. I am emotionally invested in some of the characters in Twisted Metal. I think that's the better way to sort of put it, because the world is still kind of silly and fun and stuff at times, but it's so funny. I remember kind of like the opening 5, 10 minutes. And it's Anthony Mackie's John Doe. He's like driving through. There's a lot of like mindless violence and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this might be fun for 10 episodes if they can keep this up. And then it just surprised me and surprised me and surprised me. And yeah, this is how you. It's so interesting. This is how you take a really, really simple video game and you got to add stuff to it. But the stuff that you add has got to be well written, it's got to be really well acted, it's definitely very well acted in the show, not just from Stephanie, but everyone does a pretty good job here. The writing here is like really crafty, the line craftily sort of really well written, the line delivery from a lot of people, like the comedic timing at points and stuff like that is really, really top notch. This will go somewhere in the best shows of the year, but obviously we've still got over half the year still to go. So let me just go through some of the cast list for a minute. You've got two people who are doing the work for Sweet Tooth. You've got someone called Samoa Joe, I think, judging by the picture here, they might be a wrestler. I might have that wrong. I don't know anything about that person. They were clearly doing like the body acting. You've got Stephanie, who's, like I said, is quiet. You've got Anthony Mackie, who's John Doe. Then you've got Neve Campbell from Scream. I'm not laughing at her, by the way. I'm just reminding myself of the shit state that Scream 7 is currently in. And she now has to carry that. She can, but she shouldn't be carrying it. That's a long story. It's a very long story. Go listen to the Scream 7 podcast if you want to find out more about that. She's playing Raven. I won't really spoil her role. Then you've got Will Arnett. So Will Arnett is doing the voice work for Sweet Tooth, so it's a bit of a double job kind of thing. He fits that voice. Look, I don't really know anything about Sweet Tooth as a character. He's a very fun. See, that's even the thing with Sweet Tooth, because Sweet Tooth obviously sticks out a lot more than like anybody else here. Is Sweet Tooth has his really silly, dumb, fun moments as a character, but his backstory, which I won't go into here because it's very spoilery, is really dark and really twisted. But you've almost got this kind of, I was trying to think tonally what I could compare Sweet Tooth to. Now, not in the exact same way, but you know how like Deadpool will use humor to cover their grief and their trauma? It's that kind of thing, which I know can be a little bit tropey in certain points, but it works really, really well with. And look, he's not breaking the foot. He doesn't behave the same way that Deadpool does. You just got the similar kind of Deadpool's cracking joke, shooting heads off, that sort of thing. It's not the same type of comedy as Deadpool or the same. There's no fourth wall breaking or anything like that. But it's a similar kind of thing going on. I would probably say the Sweet Tooth's backstory is way worse than Deadpool's, but anyway, they're both pretty bad backstories, pretty tragic and that. It does delve into it. It does delve into Sweet Tooth's backstory, which again I knew nothing about. I'd seen, 'cause this is the character with the clown mask, in case some of you aren't sure which one that is. And he's got like this ice cream van. There's the funny ice cream music that, well, the music itself isn't funny, but the way it fits into certain scenes is quite funny. It's a bit like an alarm for the character. I quite like the way that that played out in certain points. There's certain action scenes where like two cars are clashing against each other for various reasons, and you will just hear the ice cream music, and you're like, oh, here he comes, kind of thing. Which can be both for good, bad, and comedic reasons at times. So that was very, very good. Really enjoyed that character. So that was cool. Then you've got Thomas Hayden Church plays Stone, and then you've got like a load of other people as well. I won't get into every single character, but those are the main kind of cast is Will Arnett, Samoa, Stephanie, Anthony, and Neve Campbell. That's pretty much the main characters. So. And Stone plays a very big role as well. Structurally, I thought this was very good for the most part. Pacing wise, it's really quite quick and clean. 30-minute episodes, and there's 10 of them. I thought that there was 8. It and if you when you watch the show, or for those of you that have already seen it, think of how the 8th episode ends. I thought that was the season finale, which isn't the worst place to leave a season in. You've got to leave some dangling threads, but there was like an end there. And it's a good thing I didn't just like press the home button on my Roku and come on here, because I would have missed 2 episodes. And then suddenly it said loading episode 9. And I was like, huh? I thought there was 8. I don't know why I thought there was 8. I probably just miscounted or something like that. But even with the 2, in my situation, extra episodes, It ends off in a more definitive season finale type place, but still absolutely brilliant. So pacing is a lot better here than the structure. There was a weird bit I had actually. And I'm not going to moan about it. I'm just going to mention it in case some of you saw it. There's a bit where somebody's being dragged out of a diner. I was trying to remember the line of dialogue. I think someone said to someone, I don't want to give any context to it because it is quite a spoilery sort of scene, said like, I don't want to see your shit face here again or something like that. Someone's being dragged by like their jacket out of a cafeteria. And then they get thrown on the floor. And then once they got thrown on the floor, there's two people in front of them. So for those of you that know which scene I'm talking about, it's in episode six, I think. And then it bumped itself back. I didn't rewind the episode. There was no loading thing. And then it replayed the same scene. And I watched it back once. And I was like, is there some difference here? Just it was just a weird bit, right? I think it played either that or the editing was a bit weird with the episode. I don't know. Anyway, didn't distract from anything from the season. It was just a little bit of a strange little error, I suppose. The structure is very good for the most part. There is a little bit of jumping around, but then there is a lot of backstories and explanations to get to. It's mainly things of like, what happened to this person before the apocalypse thing happened? And it's sort of, why is this character this way? How did they end up this way? Like with Sweet Tooth's thing, how does somebody end up like that? And it does explain those things very well. I thought all of the backstory played out really, really well for each character, so I was very, very happy with that. So the structure itself is good. There isn't really any ways of which I would change those things. But yeah, you do jump around a little bit, but there's a lot of explaining to do. So I'll forgive it for that, I suppose. But yeah, that's Twisted Metal. Excited for season two now, which I didn't expect to be thinking that. But you know, I thought, hey, apart from recently Five Nights at Freddy's, which had the tone right, but other things were wrong in that film. We're now in. I mean, have we ever had a golden age of video game adaptations before? I don't think so. Since like Sonic, Mario, Sonic 2, Last of Us, obviously, and a few others. This Twisted Metal show. Again, Halo in the action is really good, but not good in other bits. See, with like Halo and with Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights at Freddy's had the tone for the actual horror stuff really good, but nothing else was really great in that film. And in Halo, the action is absolutely phenomenal, and then nothing else is. So we're getting a lot better. We're getting a lot better, certainly with video game adaptions. This one's really good, really, really good, and very unexpected. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. There's a lot of things to talk about in the spoiler section, so I want to end the spoiler free section here. But very much enjoyed it. Like I said, 9 out of 10. Must see if you're in, because it says Peacock original, but we got it on Paramount Plus. So check both of them. If you're in the US, I'm not sure which one it actually is on in the US, but if you're in the UK, Paramount Plus, you can watch the first season, 30-minute episodes, so that is about 5 hours or so for the whole show. Very much enjoyed that. If you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Twisted Metal, have you played the game or games? I think there's more than one. I think there's a couple of games on the PS1. By the way, this didn't really make me curious to play the game. But I'm more curious as to, there's been some rumors of a new Twisted Metal game. Hopefully it takes some material from this. So I would be excited for a new Twisted Metal game, but I've got no, like, this wasn't one of the ones where it's like, oh, I've seen the show now, I really want to play the game, because I know that the game is not like this really, is it? So unless there's some other stuff I don't know about. If you've played the game, let me know. Let me know what the deal is. But if you have or haven't seen it, let me know. Are you gonna watch it now on my recommendation? Do you agree with me? If you've already seen the show, did you think it was bad? Did you think it was much better than what I thought? And what did you think of Stephanie's acting in the show as well? Have you seen her in other things I just haven't seen, and you kind of knew what she was capable of? So let me know. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK. And there's information in your show notes, email box as well in there. There's two email boxes, I think, so scroll down a little bit, you'll find them. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Take a look out for all of those. I got other stuff coming, because you didn't know this season review was coming, because neither did I until today, until I planned to do it. So there'll be unexpected podcasts, and there'll be expected podcasts as well. But keep your eyes out, entertainmenttalk.org. Podcast platforms, TV, games, films, main night podcasts for all the stuff that's coming up and all the stuff that's already there. We have a ton of content. Please go through the menus and stuff like that and check out what we've got. We have an absolute ton of stuff. So check that out. If you would like to, of course, support us more, you can listen to more stuff, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast, because that really helps as well. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk, that's for your TV and your film news, so have a look out for that. Bex, who's on hiatus at the moment, but you can check out content she's already done. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Trista BYTES. Me over on Twitch at eTalkUK for Xbox only game streams, which include Lies of P at the moment, and YouTube is for archives of those streams and for PS5 streams or video games and video game clips as well. This is your first spoiler warning. We're going to take a break. I've already done all the outro bits and pieces, so it's just the break to take in a moment. And then the spoiler section, so I'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, let's get to the spoiler section. I guess for those of you that have played the game and or watched the first season, you can stick around. I mean, you can stick around if you want to anyway, but I'm going to get into spoilers. If you don't want to hear the first season spoilers for Twisted Metal, and it's not just dumb fun, there's a lot of deep stuff going on here. Well, not loads of deep stuff, but a good amount of deep stuff, so there's that as well. So if you don't want to be spoiled, basically, season 1 Twisted Metal, we're going to get started. Yeah, where do I even go to first? I try to do this character by character sometimes, but it doesn't always work. Let's talk about Quiet, because she's the one that stuck out to me the most first. Look, I always say things like, when you do have storylines that are more diverse or more focused on particular issues in the world, I am genuinely interested in those stories because, sometimes I can find out something or learn more about, people with backgrounds or experiences that are different to my own. And it might be a weird thing to mention that within Twisted Metal, but I didn't expect to be saying that either. So, definitely some with the slavery storyline, the obvious kind of race stuff going on there as well. I thought that was handled really well. I thought that was really, really well done and really, really powerful. That was probably the most emotional stuff in the show. Everything with her brother, who's called Loud, played by Richard Cabral. Of course, he's not actually in the show for very long, unfortunately. But I didn't expect that. I think that was in what, the second episode. That very much put an early stamp on, like, first of all, we're not messing around, and second of all, this ain't going to be some silly show. And the first little note from Stephanie was not just her crying reaction, but just, I don't know how easy or hard it is to do certain facial acting, because I've never tried it myself, but the amount of power she put into that I thought was really, really quite strong. And like the way she gets controlled by the what was his name again, Stone, and like, okay, he's law enforcement, but obviously he's taken his power way too far. And this idea of like, okay, if you basically both get up, we'll just shoot both of you, there's one bullet, you've got to choose between you. And then her brother takes the gunner makes that choice, and obviously you get the hallucinations later on, as she's going through that campus place, whatever it was. Yeah, she really did quite pull out some stops with some of those acting bits, especially like there's the bit like, so obviously he shoots himself, his blood goes onto her, like a splash damage thing or whatever, not splash damage, what am I talking about, blood splatter. And then that kind of just changed and kicked on her character. Not that she wasn't anything before, but that was like the moment in her sort of story. So I thought that was really, really well done all the way through. Obviously, there's all the bits later with all the slavery stuff. They get told, like, hey, if you, I think it was like if you do these things for 4 years or whatever it was, that you'll get like rewarded. That turned out to be a lie, and then we see just all the like really, really dark stuff in the cafeteria happening with her brother. Obviously, that was when he was alive. So really, really powerful stuff from. I thought both of their acting was really good, both Richard and Stephanie, but she really just kind of blew me away with her acting. So I thought that was absolutely brilliant. I kind of feel like I am leaving the main character in the dark a little bit, but I mean, with John, Quiet, and Sweet Tooth, those are clearly the three characters that kind of stuck out the most. I mean, you have got Stu that has an interesting kind of storyline to him as well, and a few other characters. Because Neve Campbell's Raven, you see her in what? The first episode? And then the last episode, you only see her like a couple of times. Obviously, she does make an impact. Sweet Tooth. So I had seen an image of the character before. I knew about like the clown mask thing, and I knew that the truck was. I'd seen like a photo of Sweet Tooth, and I'd seen probably in some like PS1 gameplay montages that you can drive around as that truck and you can cause chaos and win whatever. Wow, that murder of the dog was. I thought that was the most shocking moment. Not that I don't think it was done for shock value, but I think it was the most shocking moment of the whole thing. But there's a couple of moments in the show, particularly with, let's say, with Stone, when you see the younger version of him, and with Sweet Tooth as well. And I don't. I quite like being told as well, sort of. Okay, just because you get the explanation of why a character is the way that they are, it doesn't mean you have to sympathize with them, but it's given you not an excuse, but a reason for why they are the way that they are. Like what, how? Because I always say, even with people in the real world, like people that are the most evil, soulless, disgusting people in the world, which there are too many of, you weren't born like that. No one's really, unless you're like born into a cult or a really bad family or something like unless you're born into like a really, really bad situation, and you get manipulated from a young age or something. But none of us, because I know that you do learn stuff when you're in the womb and that, don't you? Like you can, because I've heard things like when a mother is pregnant and like music gets played around the child, the child might like that music, and you know, things like that. There's little things like that that I know that you can do with children, but or babies and or you know, unborn children in that case. But there's sometimes just a moment in people's life that just flips a switch. Now it might not be their fault rather, that the switch flips. But because that's where I use the term of like, okay, this isn't an excuse for the way that you are, but it is a reason. This is the thing that happened to you. So both with Sweet Tooth, with the kind of him getting told he's not good enough, and everyone's laughing at the dog and not him, and he just, some people just do snap like that, unfortunately. And there was probably bits before that where he's getting told like, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you're not good enough for this and that and whatever. So that was it was a well-told story. And okay, we didn't see the whole like, you know, 25 years or whatever in the asylum and stuff, but when he took Stu on the tour, as you said, you got the gist of sort of, because that's where it gets genuinely more interesting with Sweet Tooth, is like, if you've, because he's listing all these, like, I went to this, then I went to this, then I went to this, and obviously Stu's trying to not say something to get himself decapitated, and it's like, okay, parents are supposed to love their children, etc., etc. But when this happens to a person, and it's just like, you're going to this place, you're going to this asylum, you're going to this thing, and he felt that he was getting ignored, There's a line somewhere between like, our son did a brutal murder from a very young age. I don't know how old he's supposed to be in that play or whatever. And then it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And now look at him. And I get that, okay, this apocalyptic thing sort of happened. We're in this like, I haven't really mentioned this yet, but I love the sort of Mad Max theme to this whole thing as well. This sort of every man for himself, deserted kind of wasteland apocalyptic. I like that theme quite a lot in a lot of stuff, which is why I like a lot of zombie stuff as well. But him going through this, like, what were your parents? I get that, like, he felt that he was abandoned and he tricked his parents and murdered them in the cell or whatever happened there. But what were your parents supposed to do? Like, if professionals can't help you and you keep getting moved from asylum to asylum or hospital to hospital or like prison to prison and you just keep getting worse. There's a line there between, okay, was this person helped enough young in their life? And is there just a moment you want where you are too far gone, where you're just no, because there's a certain phrase, isn't there? You can't be helped unless you help yourself. Like, you can take all the advice that you want from people around you in your life, and look, I've got people in my life that I'm getting really deep with this, aren't I? And this is twisted metal. There's people in my life that really have been offered a ton of help, but they've utterly refused it, and they're in the situation because of the choices that they've made, but they've had plenty of help. That none of them are like this, of course, of like this sweet tooth character. But there's a certain amount of, if you're not helping yourself, you can't be helped. And if he just kept going on murderous rampages and doing all that, like, how are you supposed to be helped? I don't know. And I like how the show touches upon that because look, he doesn't look at everybody and want to murder everybody. He does try to befriend Stu and all these other people. Granted, Stu kind of does do it so he doesn't get killed, and he also does need some help. But that's what made that whole thing so much more interesting, rather than just, hey, we have a mindless guy who will just kill people no matter what. That is, he's not Michael Myers. You know what I mean? Michael Myers is so much more boring compared to someone like Sweet Tooth. Now that makes me want to see them fight each other. Although Michael Myers can't be killed because it's a stupid creation of a character. hasn't Michael Myers like died in the films before and then they bring him back every? It's like, that's so dumb and stupid and silly and whatever. But anyway, yeah, very, very interesting character with Sweet Tooth. I really liked what they did there. And those scenes where he like breaks into that place and just kills a bunch of people and the people clap for him, I thought that was really, really great. So let's talk about John Doe, our main character, shall we? I wondered throughout the whole show, like, okay, you don't know your name, you don't know your date of birth, you know nothing about yourself at all. And I wasn't sure how much sci-fi went into this show because I didn't really know that much about it. Like, I knew that Sweet Tooth with the van was a thing and it was a destruction derby game. That's about what I knew. But I didn't know if there was like sci-fi elements or fantasy. I didn't really know what to expect on that front, which is why this was probably so much as a surprise. And I thought, like, was there going to be something that happened to John when he was really young? Which seems to be a theme throughout this show, but then obviously you've got the pre-apocalypse life and post-apocalypse life, which makes people a bit different. But the answer seemed to be, oh, that he, like, his dad was getting attacked. I think it was when the apocalypse thing was starting, because it was meteors or something like that. I think that did it, and people just started killing each other. He crashed the car and got like amnesia. It's not the greatest thing in the world, and I wasn't expecting this grand explanation. I wasn't really too bothered about that. About like, oh, why? I was more interested in, okay, who is this guy, and not why has he forgotten who he is? Why doesn't he know? I was surprisingly less interested in why is this guy the way that he is, and I just wanted to know, like, okay, well, you were someone. You do have a name. You do have a date of birth. You do have a family. So, what is all that? And then Raven has a somewhat answer to that, I suppose. So that was very, very good. I really enjoyed his scenes with Quiet. Obviously, there's A lot of those scenes. A lot of them are quite fun. They argue back and forth a little bit. They are a bit of an on again, off again couple, but not in the irritating, relationshipy sort of way. So that was quite good. Yeah, sad to see his car go as well. That was like surprisingly sort of quite sad. And I was really looking at that car, and I'm no car expert at all. And I was like, because there was a scene, I think it was in episode 9. Yes, it was in episode 9. Because I thought 8 was the finale. And he's like putting bits of car on this pile. And I was like, is he trying to repair the car or do something? But then I looked at that car and I was like, no, that's gone. Little bit of a plot hole that I do want to mention, unless there's some sort of explanation. So you've got the priest person and whatever. Now I don't completely understand how car explosions work, because I'm not a car person, nor am I an explosives expert of any way, shape, or form. How did they both not die from that? Because he got carried, the priest, preacher, or whatever is called, the guy from Good Place and a few other shows that we've seen. I think he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well with Stephanie. I don't quite understand how they both didn't die, and I genuinely thought for a moment, and maybe this was the show doing its job. I was like, oh, because I think she took the package thing, didn't she? I was like, oh, are you killing him off and switching to her? Which, okay, I'm not opposed to Quiet being the lead character. Clearly, she was my favorite character in the show. But I was like, oh, I thought Anthony Mackie was going to be in the whole, but yeah, whole thing, but he didn't die somehow from that. Look, I've seen characters survive somehow far worse things. And again, I don't, understand how the explosion works or how you would survive something like that. I don't really know. Because I saw other vehicles get exploded in this show, and those people didn't quite survive. So anyway, strange. Although John had the bonnet on top of him, so did he manage to use, did that like blow upwards and then he was able to use that as cover? I don't really know. There's obviously some explanation for that. They both looked quite sort of burnt from it at least. So that is what it is. who else do I want to talk about? Raven. I've not really got much to say from there. Obviously she tried to she so is she setting up the destruction? She because she said, oh, it's haha, the twisted metal pun bit at the end, which it gives me a tiny little worry for season two. I'll talk about that in just a second. Yeah, let me put a pin in Raven for just a second, because I want to save a bit of the season two talk for the end. Stone, I thought Stone was a brilliant character. Hopefully he is dead from the injuries at the end. He's either going to bleed out, or I know you did hear the gunshot, but you didn't see where it went. And to be honest, the angle of which he was holding that gun looked a bit more upwards, didn't it? So I hope he doesn't come back, because I think that was a satisfying arc for his character. I really do. So again, horrible villain and all that kind of stuff, but a brilliant villain, a great arc and everything. I thought that was really, really good. Obviously, his theme. So obviously with Sweet Tooth, you've got trauma and all this kind of stuff. I mean, everybody's traumatized in some way, shape, or form on this show. His is all about control and power, which is a very, very, very American thing to do. Americans, especially gun-wielding Americans, not all of you, just some of you, are very, 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 very obsessed with control. It's quite concerning, especially with control of your guns. You really don't want to let them go, do you? But yeah, and not just the idea of control, but the idea of what's the word I'm looking for? Status, I suppose. Like, oh, you're just a mall cop, and then he kills like five people. So that was, again, you don't have an excuse for the way that you are, but there is a reason for the way that you are. You lost your cool, you lost your control, and we saw it even with the slightly earlier scene with the two girls saying, like, oh, I'm going to confiscate your phone or whatever it was. And then the apocalypse started happening, and then things got a lot more serious. So, yeah, someone who's obsessed with like his position, his power, his control, But I don't need to see that character again. I thought that was a really satisfying arc. You know, he, got what he got from, I almost said Rosa, that's her character from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, from Quiet. That was obviously very, disturbing, powerful scene early on. But I almost said Rosa again. It's like, but then Quiet coming back later and doing the reverse on him. Hopefully he's dead from that. So that was quite good. Other characters, I did like Loud, I did like Amber, I did like Miranda as well. They were all cool. Stu had an interesting arc. I thought that was good. Shepard's death I thought was very, very satisfying. He's the one who gets beaten over the head with a gun by Quiet, while he was holding some inappropriate material. So that was really good. You've got some other characters as well. There was one bit that I was a little bit right. I'm gonna say this last bit, and then I'm gonna move on to season two talk. So, Miranda, who was like the leader of the, I'm gonna call them the Trucks group because I don't know what else to call them. She was kind of the leader of that. Obviously, there was the wise old woman. She passed away, all that sort of thing. Then you got Amber, who thought that John and Quiet were the wise men, which is the lot that we saw later. They were all like the culty sort of bunch of people. So there was a bit where, because Miranda gets in like the really fast car. I thought that bit driving away from the rocket was really cool as well. A lot of the action's really, really cool in the show. And then Amber, I swear Amber got shot in the throat. And then the other person whose name I cannot remember was like holding her throat as they're trying to like steer that this great big truck. Miranda then meets up with them later, and Amber gets out of the truck, and they hug. They have a reunion, and then there's like a slightly burnt and dead body on the floor, which is the other person. And then Amber does have blood on her neck, but I think she's got like a thing around it this time. Did they edit the, did I see that scene wrong, or did they edit it wrong? I was a bit sort of, I'm glad that she's alive because I thought that they were both kind of cool side characters. But was it supposed to be, well, I swear it was the other one that was actually dead, but Amber was the one, because Amber got shot and I was like, oh no, because I, kind of cared about Amber a little bit. And then she got shot in the throat, or it was like really high, either really high in the chest or in the throat, somewhere around that area. I was like, oh no, she's been shot. I don't know how she'll survive. I mean, people can survive quite miraculous injuries sometimes. And then she has got blood on her neck when they meet up later. So I was a bit confused. I'm glad that she's alive. I'm very glad that she's alive. Unless I'm mixing them up and the other one is Amber, but I don't think I am because I'm looking at the photo of Amber right now, and that is the same lady that was doing the flower stuff earlier. Then there was a hint of her having a relationship with Miranda, but I swear she was the one that got shot because even when they have the reunion with Amber and Miranda, they do a 3 second little flashback scene. I swear, it is what it is. I don't know if that was an editing mistake or what that was, but I'm glad they're both alive anyway. That's all that matters, isn't it, at the end of the day. Right, let's talk about Raven and a bit of season two. So she sets up a Twisted Metal-esque tournament, and the idea is to survive, which is what the video game is all about. So given all the quite incredible character development they've done across the board, Sweet Tooth, Quiet, John. Obviously Stone's dead, but Stone as well, Miranda, Stu, Amber. Yeah, they did some really, really incredible stuff. Stone did as well, but he won't be in season two unless he's still alive. Hopefully he's not. So it looks like, because look, I thought the action in the show was brilliant, but now that this writing team and all the people that make this show have shown that they're capable of turning Twisted Metal into this, I don't want it to become too action focused. Because if you kind of not re you can't really reverse character development, especially not these kinds of things. I hope that it doesn't sort of like, because okay, you've told some arcs of these characters, like you've told Sweet Tooth's arc, kind of, you've told a good portion of Quiet's arc, but you can do the next bit. You can continue developing characters. And obviously, John's got his whole past to deal with and stuff. But I hope it doesn't, because the way that was described and set up at the end of, like, oh, here's the tournament now coming up. I hope that it. I don't mind it doing that and being a bit more of a destruction derby because that is what the game is. But given what you've shown here of what you can do, let's not try to delve too much into what the game is actually is, which I know is weird because it's supposed to be based off the game. But I think you get what I'm saying. Really excellent character development. Try not to make it too sort of action focused next season. Which if we're going to have an action survival based tournament, it might do that. But then you might have both things. Then you might have the action be a little bit more, but still have really great stories and character arcs and character development in and around this Destruction Derby type thing. It might not be like the whole season or something. We have got a second season renewal. We do know that, so that's really, really good. But yeah, that's season one. I almost said season two. That's season one of Twisted Metal. Really, really enjoyed it. One of the now it does count for this year for us because we got the show this year. I'm pretty sure we did actually. I know it says 2023 on it, but pretty sure it did come out this year. Let me just triple check or double check that. Twisted Metal UK release date. Yeah, that's what I thought it was actually. March 2024. Yeah, the surprisingly well-received TV adaptation Twisted Metal has been officially watchable in the US for about 8 months. That's changing from today, though, as the action comedy, that's a good way of describing it, is now available to stream in the UK, and that article is on the 21st of March 2024, so it does qualify for this year, which is good. Cool. So yeah, I don't think this is the best show of the year so far, but it'll certainly be within the list somewhere. So we'll see. Anyway, that's what I got. Really, really enjoyed this. Really, really brilliant. This might be one that I'm thinking of for the next couple of days. I might go and look up some more gameplay just to see if there's any other bits and pieces, but I don't know. I kind of just want a game more based on this than the game from before. So, anyway, thanks very much for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.